So I don't know all of you guys. Some of you guys know me, but growing up, I loved playing sports. I played a lot of soccer, and then when I was about 12, 13, I started to hit puberty, and I grew really big, and when I played soccer, I started to get a lot of fouls, yellow cards, red cards, because my shoulders just kind of like stuck out. They're broad, and so then my dad thought it would be a good idea to put me into football, and I thought that was the best idea ever. And so when I was, I think it was 14 or 15, that I first started playing football, and I remember showing up, you sign up, and then you show up the first day, and the practice, you kind of run around, and they make you do burpees and all these terrible things, but then they're like, all right, now it's time for you to get your pads. So you go into, like, the field house, and they open this storehouse, and they start measuring to see what pads you get, and I had, like, the triple XL pads, because I had these beefy, like, 14-year-old shoulders, and because of, like, my beefy shoulders, I got to be in the beefy role, which if you know anything about football, which I really enjoy, I'm hoping to watch some today. I haven't watched any football yet this year. The biggest guys end up hitting the most people, and you're right on the front line. So you're either on the offensive line or on the defensive line, but either way, you need to be wearing the pads. And so whenever I read Ephesians 6, I always think about football, because when it talks about putting on armor, that's what it felt like. Like, we were, our team, we were the Titans, and so we had, like, a little Titan man. And so I always imagine, you know, we'd have, like, our warm-up song, everybody get amped up. We had this guy named Kai, who was, like, this super pumped black kid, and he'd get in the middle and start screaming, and we'd all, you know, us awkward white kids, like, yeah! But then we'd all get excited, and we get excited for, like, battle. And in the same way, I feel like that might be a good picture. Maybe it would help you to see the picture. And so last week we talked about the belt of truth. And in football, you actually wear a belt also. And not that I want to really focus so much on football, but man, it's a bad news if your belt starts coming loose in football. Just leave it at that. You got pads going on in the pants, and they're tight, and there's big men, so you got to make sure that belt is good. But one thing I wanted to focus on is with shoulder pads, they actually cover your chest. And in Scripture, when we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, this breastplate was something that the Roman soldiers would actually wear that would cover their entire chest. It said, one thing I was reading said, from like their neck all the way down to their thighs. And so it was this large piece of metal. Sometimes if you're rich, then you could have some chain mail. But it was to cover your most important organs. But also some commentators, some people say that it was really the heart plate. Yeah. And so this morning, that's what I wanted to talk about. Yeah. So when I played football, we'd put on our shoulder pads, which would also cover your chest and part of your back. And then they had, on the back, they had this strap, and it was essential that strap remained. The strap would come down the back and wrap around the side and then hook in, like, up at the front here. And I remember several times getting in such hard collisions with people that both of my straps would rip off. And so in those times, you would have to get those on really quick, because if your strap is not properly on, guys, especially when you're on the line, you get down, and you're, like, ready to hit them, all your momentum, and when you hit, guys will do things like punch you. They'll come up in, because the refs can't see. And if you don't have your straps on, they can knock the wind out of you. They can get you right in the ribs. They can get you really bad. So you got to keep your arms. You got to protect yourself. But I when I was preparing for this, I've had this picture that, and this is what people say, is that the truth is so connected to righteousness. Right. The truth is so very much so. The belt of truth is so connected to the breastplate of righteousness. That the armor that these guys would wear, they would put the plate on, or they put their belt on, because it actually affixed, it hitched into the belt. The belt bore the weight of the protection. And in the same way, when I played football, if that protection came loose, even when you hit people, that you could actually injure yourself. And so that profound reality of football, I feel like, also is an analogy that Paul is talking about with the Roman soldiers, but I believe it's all about our heart. And so this morning, knowing like a little bit about that, I felt like we need to know that the truth that we talked about last week is so important and connected to righteousness. And righteousness is like a happy word that we say, but if you don't know what that means, the best way to understand it is right living, and a right living and a right relationship with God. And so through Scripture, he talks a lot about righteousness, and I don't have time to unpack it, nor do I feel like that's the focus for this morning, but I feel like you need to know that our righteousness can't be our righteousness. It's his righteousness. And this is a mistake that I've made. And so just as in football, there's times where the straps would come loose and maybe I get injured. I was fortunate I didn't get injured often. You know, it was minor things. But kids would have broken ribs, dislocated shoulders. Different things would happen if your pads came out. But in life, there's been times where I make mistakes and I've sinned and I've done stupid things and I try to hide it and curl it away. And I try to present myself as this like totally okay person. And I start and I walk around with like to have my nice black shirt on. And the other day, Holly and I were visiting family and we were on these special flight with a friend who works for the airline. So they said, you need to dress up business class because you need to look the part. So sometimes in life, you know, we dress up businessy and we look the part, but inside things aren't okay. And that's the most dangerous place to be in. That is the place where I have most devastated myself. And Jesus, his grace has redeemed and he's washed and restored me. But I want to say this morning that if we haven't fixed our righteousness and his righteousness to his truth, this morning I believe he wants us to turn towards him. Because when I was preparing this week, I felt like he wanted you to know that it's about your heart. That he cares for our heart. Sometimes we get so riled up about the enemy is about to attack us. And that's a reality. But you know what's more important than worrying about the enemy attacking us? Is worrying about hearing from God and obeying him. Because right. If we hear from him and we obey him, you defend yourself from the enemy. It's kind of like football again, but if you just listen to the coach, like if you trust your coach, you're probably going to be okay. Like I know the coaches are fallible, but if you trust God, you'll be okay. And in this same place, the gospel is that Jesus gave all of himself. The truth, which is the gospel, our belt of truth, is that he gave all of himself, that he paid for all of our sin. And that's the place that we start at, that we fasten ourselves, and then a righteousness that gets like clipped in or seated and fastened to starts with the gospel. Our right living, my ability to even clean up my mess isn't me cleaning it up. It's walking to Jesus and going, man, can you deal with my heart? I got these deep offenses. I got this bitterness. Like these people have hurt me or I'm involved in this thing and I can't stop. I'm addicted to this and I don't want people to see because if they know, then, you know, what will they think? Jesus, and he's calling us to open our hearts to him. Yes. And so I had this phrase. So if you could title this, I feel like the phrase for this morning is vulnerable to God, but protected from the enemy. Wow. And I believe this morning that he wants us to like unhinge and open our hearts to him. And so let me, this is some of my opinions and what I felt from Jesus. So just hold this lightly. I had a sense this week that you're either serving God or you're serving Satan. There's no in between. And that is scriptural, and we can talk about that after. But I had this sense that you're wearing armor, but who are you protecting? Wow. What kind of armor are we wearing? Wow. And I had the sense for me that it was like there have been times in my life where I've created a breastplate of something to protect my heart from someone, but who am I protecting it from? Am I protecting it from my pastors or my friends and God? Am I protecting it because I don't want people to come in? Or am I protecting it from Satan with God's righteousness? And I had the sense that Jesus actually wants us to open up and allow him. And so in the midst of this whole service, the whole point of having a table is there's an invitation to the Lord's table. There's a song that came into my head a while ago. It's like, there's room here at the table. There's room here at the table of the Lord. There's room. This is an invitation for us to not just sit here and hear the word, maybe play some songs and sing the things and go over and do our religious rites. Like he destroys our religion because he cares about our heart. And don't be confused by that. He doesn't want, like he says to the Pharisees, I don't want your clean outside cup. I care about the inside. Yes. I care about the inside. And I've been reading Jeremiah. It talks about people having hard hearts that you can write sin on the very heart. And that's not the kind of heart we want to have. We want to have a heart of flesh. Like in Ezekiel, it talks about him actually changing Israel's heart and making a new heart. And then in the New Testament, we have all kinds of scriptures that talk about like our hearts being renewed and like the newness of life. And Holly woke up on her birthday and said, you know, is there a scripture about fully alive? And I was thinking about that. We're like, yeah, John 10:10 talks about coming life, that you would have life and life to the full, life abundant, that your heart would come alive. So this morning, I believe that we need to know that he wants our hearts to come alive in him. Yeah. and that he wants to do a work, and that this whole thing that we do is an invitation to repentance. So if maybe we examine ourselves, because we take moments to examine in this morning, and we find that maybe there's certain areas where we've, maybe it isn't just their breastplate, but maybe it's areas where fear is ruling over faith and we're not lifting up something, or we're feeling anxious and there isn't peace, or we're believing lies and we're not having the truth, or maybe we're just not even sure about his salvation, and even if he's real, that I believe this morning there's an invitation to repent and to encounter his grace. That, like, you can almost imagine one time we were at the beach, Stefan was preaching, and he talked about how, like, he took this coat off, his big black coat, and then and threw it away and put on another one. Jesus talks about us putting off the old and putting on his clothes, and I had a picture of him clothing us. And sometimes even in football, if you were really sore, I'd have to get my dad to take my pads off after, because I couldn't move. But even then, I believe God wants to, like, take your sore pads off and put his clothes on. And, so you need to know God cares for your heart. Just let me read this quote. The Christian's protection is not to be sought in any works of his own, but only in what Christ has done for him and in him. So we start at the armor of God, at him. We start with him. We can't even fix ourselves. We're just like, there's an invitation to let him work. And I want to play a song just in worship. I found just like a spontaneous snippet in between songs that I felt prophetically was for this moment. So if you want to just get that ready, and then I want to pray, and we'll transition to what's next. Just before you play the song, are you guys ready? Okay, just before you play it, I believe that this morning there's an invitation for us to open our heart to the Father, and that we're meant to allow him to clothe and protect us, that we would become vulnerable to God and protected from the enemy, that we be protected with the truth of the gospel and in his righteousness. So let's just play that, and then I want to pray.
In a broken heart, I can heal so many things. In a broken heart, if it's open, keep it open. I can do so many things. With an open heart, and I can heal so many things. In a broken heart, if it's open, so keep it open, he says. I can do so many things. With an open heart, and I can heal so many things. In a broken heart, if it's open, so keep it open. 'Cause when you're hurting, sometimes the tendency is to shut down. And when you've been wounded, sometimes the tendency is to pull back. The Lord says, I can do so many things. With an open heart, I can heal so many things. In a broken heart, if it's open, so keep it open. And as he releases his power this morning, as he brings freedom, the Spirit says, keep your heart open. Keep your heart open. 'Cause sometimes the process involves pain. And the temptation is to pull back, to shut down. The Lord says, keep your heart open. Keep your heart open. Keep your heart open. I can do so many things. With an open heart, and I can heal so many things. In a broken heart, if it's open, so keep it open.
Just one thing that when I was preparing this, I felt like often we think that the enemy, he's just waiting for a moment to stab us in the heart and to kill us right away. But the reality is sometimes he wants to just turn our heart against God. And so this morning, there's an invitation in that to turn our hearts towards God. And sometimes we don't even maybe have like the ability to like do that. You're like, I don't even know how. Just open your heart. Say, Father, I open my heart to you. So let me just pray and then we'll move on. Jen, if you want to come up, I think we're doing worship next. So, Father, I ask this morning that you would move, that your Holy Spirit right now, that you would just, your presence would come and that you would invade our space. I pray that you would ask us the question this morning, how is your heart doing? That we'd hear the voice of the Father saying, how is your heart? How are you doing? And I pray that we wouldn't hide behind our righteousness or false armor, but that we would let that go and let you come in and garden our heart, that you would cause our hearts to come alive, that we would be able to hear your voice and be obedient and put on the armor that you've called us to put on, the armor of light that you call us to put on in Romans, that we're meant to walk upright, to stand, therefore, in this present day, in this age, that we would stand and walk in your might, in your strength. Would you come and nurture and garden our hearts this morning, Father? Would you heal our hearts? Thank you that even the broken hearts, you can do so much with, that you long for us. We bless you in Jesus' name.